All right, we're live. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'd like to call the Legislative Committee meeting to order. And this meeting will be conducted under procedures authorized by Executive Order N-29-20 issued by Governor Gavin Newsom. Members of the committee are participating by teleconference, and public comments will be accepted under each agenda item. You can email comments on the agenda as and they must be submitted to comments at bachmed.gov prior to the committee taking up the particular item and indicate the agenda item to which the comment relates. Emailed comments will be considered as the agenda item is taken up by the committee. Emailed comments containing 250 words or less will be read aloud by the staff. Emailed comments exceeding 250 words may be summarized during the meeting if feasible. And with that, I'd like to ask for roll call, please, Marcy.
On the roll for the Legislative Committee meeting of June 25th, 2020, Director Bowders. Director Canepa.
Here.
Director Cutter.
Here.
Director Joya.
He's in an air board meeting today.
Great, thank you. Director Haggerty. Director Hurt.
Present.
Director Jew.
Here.
Director Mitchell?
Here.
Committee Vice Chair Wagon Connect?
Here.
Committee Chair Abe Koga?
Here.
Board Chair Sinks?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Great, thank you very much. We'll move on to item two, the approval of the minutes of the May 27th, 2020 meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Let me, if there's any public comments? I don't see. If you're in the attendee box, please raise, click the raise hand button at the bottom. I don't see any. Marcy, do we have other public comment?
We need to vote on the minutes, correct?
Oh, yes. I'm just taking public comment on the minutes. Right.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. No.
All right. Could we get a roll call vote, please?
Director Bowders? Director Canepa?
Yes.
Canepa is an aye. Director Cutter?
Aye.
Cutter is an aye. Director Joya. Director Haggerty. Director Hurt.
Aye.
Hurt is an aye. Director Ju.
Aye.
Ju is an aye. Director Mitchoff.
Yes.
Mitchoff is an aye. Committee Vice Chair Wagon Connect.
Yes.
Wagon Connect is an aye. Committee Chair Abe Koga.
Aye.
Abe Koga is an aye. Board Chair Sinks.
Aye.
Sinks is an aye. Motion.
Thank you very much. We'll move on to item three, the Sacramento Legislative Budget Update. And Ellen Abbs, you take it away.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Abe Koga and members of the committee. So I have good news to report. And when so I gave a brief update last week at the district's board meeting to let everyone know where we were in the budget process. And where we were at the time as of last Wednesday was that the Assembly and the Senate had had approved a budget package that they had sent to the, that they were planning to send to the governor. And at the time, the governor, between the governor and the Assembly Senate budget, there was still a couple billion dollar gap between them coming to an agreement. And so at the time we were worried that air quality programs might be impacted by that budget gap when they did their further negotiations. And so I'm pleased to report that over the weekend, the Assembly and the Senate and the governor reached an agreement on the budget. The Assembly and the Senate will be voting on that budget package today, at which point they'll send it to the governor and he will be signing it. And so we have a couple items in that budget that the governor will approve that are good for us. And I'll start out when you look at the spreadsheet there, the Assembly and the Senate package had proposed $50 million in AB 617 implementation funding, which would have been status quo amount from last fiscal year. The governor will be signing, approving that $50 million amount for the next fiscal year. And so for the Bay Area District, if we received the same proportion of that $50 million as we have in the past, that would be approximately $9 million for 617 implementation programs that would carry the district at our current rate of spending somewhere into mid 2022. And so that funding would give us with the current amount of funding that we just received the check for a couple weeks ago, that would provide for the next 2 years of 617 funding. Also, to our surprise, our Clean Air Center's incentive funding made it through the budget process, and that's going to be funded at $5 million for next fiscal year. And so I was pretty skeptical that given the large budget problem that the state was looking at after shelter in place, that something like that a new program like Clean Air Centers could actually survive the budget process, but it did, and it'll get funded at a $5 million amount. And so our next step on that is to work with the Air Resources Board. This $5 million is a statewide amount, but we're of the opinion that because this is a Bay Area bill that provided this funding, and because the Bay Area has done a lot of work on this program in advance, that, you know, we should be able to get the bulk of that funding for programs in the Bay Area. And so our next step will be to work with CARB to help them work on guidelines and make sure that that we can get the bulk of that funding if it's possible going forward. And then not on this spreadsheet, but also important, are that I'll just mention are some other funding streams that the district receives that'll be unchanged from previous years. And so the Carl Moyer program will be funded at the same level it has been in previous years. So we should expect the same level of funding to the district for that. And state subvention will be funded at the same amount as previous years. And that state subvention funding is funding that's provided to local air districts to do things in state law that we aren't able to collect permit fees for. And so a lot of public communication type things, wildfire, smoke, monitoring, public outreach, a lot of things like that we actually pay for out of our state subvention funding. And so that'll be carried forward as well. And also not listed on that spreadsheet was the SB 210 diesel smog check program. That was a bill that was passed last year that would establish a diesel smog check program. There was some funding that had been proposed to jumpstart the program, provide work on the regulations and how truckers would actually go to a smog check station and do that smog check. That funding also made it through the budget process, and so CARB will be able to start working on that diesel smog check program this current fiscal year as well. And so that's all good news for us. It's kind of it's astounding that a lot of that made it through the process, given the budget problems the state had, and a large part of that is because of the work that our community groups did, writing letters, going with us to Sacramento to meet with our representatives, writing emails at the last minute when it counted, doing things like tweeting support for various budget programs at the last minute to make sure people understood that it was important to us, and also I think it was good to have members of our legislative committee and board make that trip to Sacramento and also do the same thing, because when you think about how this process worked, we got out of the gate really early in terms of getting to Sacramento and letting everyone know what our priorities were. And a lot of times stakeholders will wait a little bit into the process before they actually start taking positions and being forceful about things that are important to them. But in this case, by the time we hit early March, that opportunity for stakeholder groups to actually do that was pretty much done. And so the fact that we got in early and made sure that that people were aware of our concerns, I think really helped us in the process going forward and made it, you know, gave us a head start when things got a little bit difficult, you know, to do various outreach later on in the process. And so the other part of the spreadsheet, you'll see a lot in that column, there's a lot of things that say later. And so the part of the state's budget that deals with the Greenhouse Gas Revenue Fund or cap and trade is going to be postponed until later this summer. And so we don't know for sure when that budget will be worked on, but the next cap and trade auction will happen in mid-August. And so probably sometime around that mid-August time period is when the state would work on that incentive portion of the cap and trade budget. And so things like the AB 617 incentives, the farmer program, the clean vehicle rebate process, the clean cars for all, things like that would probably show up if they show up in a later budget later on in the year. So, and then the other thing I'll note about the budget, okay, two other things. And so the January budget from the governor also included what was called a Climate Catalyst Fund proposal, and that was the state version of the of our clean tech revolving loan program, and unfortunately for the state's Climate Catalyst Fund, it made it through the process, but it only made it through the process as a shell of a program. So basically, the program is there as a line item, but it has no funding associated with it. And in any funding right now in the budget would be through either a donation or some sort of private financing that would basically be provided to the state for use in that loan program. So good news, bad news on that. And then the last item is so one of the discussions in the negotiations between the governor and the Assembly and Senate was what to do about the future cap and trade program. And I think I mentioned last week that the May cap and trade auction only netted about $25 million in revenue versus previous auctions that were up in the $500 million to $600 million range. And so there's been a bit of concern that the cap and trade auction might not auction process might not be as robust as it could be. And Senator Wieckowski from the Fremont area had proposed the Air Resources Board do a rulemaking to make changes to the cap and trade program going forward. And so that his proposal was sort of in the mix during the whole budget negotiations process. And in the end, what happened is the state has agreed that they'll look at the cap and trade program, not in 2021, but in 2022, and look at ways to tighten things up a bit related to allowances and floor prices, ceiling prices, things like that. So it's not exactly a win-win for Senator Wieckowski, but you know he's at least getting you know the state to acknowledge that the cap and trade program probably can be tightened up a little bit, and so that'll be happening going forward as well, and we'll be participating in that process once it starts. Was there another slide on that, Marcy, that I skipped over? No. All right. So with that, I can answer any questions.
Great, thank you. Any questions from committee members? Raise your hand. Yes, Director Chu.
Thanks for the update, Alan. Can we go back to that slide? So Alan, like, did the state have any like initial projections of what they're seeing for the cap and trade auction? I mean, obviously it decreased a lot this round. Like, are they projecting that going forward? And the reason why I ask is if they are just starting to have the discussion in August, will this be in time for our budget and finance conversations around fee increases, right? Because obviously the two kind of interrelate very closely with each other as far as what we're going to do with our fees and then what money is available from the state. Do you think they'll be ready by August, or have they given any indication or early indications of where things are trending?
So I think the state tries to stay away from projecting what they're going to get on any given auction, but I'll just note that a lot of these programs on this list here would, if they even come to the district, some of that funding doesn't even come to the district, but if it does, it comes in the form of a pass through as an incentive fund, and so very little of it would actually get pulled out as administrative funding for the district to provide support for that program. So as an example, I think the one that's most important to us on this list is the 617 incentive fund, and I believe for this current fiscal year, the amount of funding we're getting through that is about $35 million for vehicle retrofits and new purchases of vehicles, and then some other programs that were available to fund as well. And so there's a little bit of administrative set aside that comes with that. But for the most part, I believe all these other programs provide a generally minimal amount of funding, coming directly to the district. And Damien can feel free to jump in and clarify.
Well, I was going to just add, Director Jude, that cap and trade auction proceeds are also tied very closely to facility activity. And that's principally why you saw the auction kind of go off a cliff at the last one, because facilities did not need to buy those offsets because their activity was down. Based on what we're seeing in the economy, it's unlikely that we're going to get back to the levels of previous auctions, but there should be a slight increase when the state opens next time. Unfortunately, a lot of the programs that you see here on this side are not... they're not mandates, right? They're not specific call outs for cap and trade. So there are specific set asides for things like high speed rail, utility refunds that have to get funded before these programs can receive money. So as far as we're currently budgeting, we're not expecting that there'll be a lot of money for us here in the next couple of years. Those set asides need to be funded first. And then we'll see what's left there available to fund this. So in our projections, we're assuming that, after maybe a year or two, we might get up to $5 or $10 million back in some of these programs, but not near the dollar amounts that we are currently receiving.
Great, thank you.
Director Cutter?
Thank you for taking my question. I'm looking at the last AB 836 and the Clean Air Centers. I know this is something that the cities have been really counting on, given the COVID crises that we have and our budgets being decimated. Looking at going out, what it's going to look like in September, October, and knowing that we're really going to need to have these clean air centers and what that looks like. So the SB 74 was passed June 15th. Does that mean the money will be flowing? And is this what we anticipated? The last I heard, we were going to be trying to at least update one center in every city. And so just kind of an update on that, if you have it, or if I need to wait to another committee, let me know.
Okay. So SB 74, what you see there was the legislative budget package that the Assembly and the Senate agreed on June 15th. And then, but what's going to actually be voted on is a different bill number. I can't remember offhand what it is, but that's a that won't be voted on until today at the Assembly and the Senate, and then the governor would sign it prior to July 1. So the money's not available yet. And I think in terms of this program, because it's a brand new program, one of the requirements is that the Air Resources Board would have to develop some guidelines for how the monies would be allocated to projects and you know how an application system would work and what the criteria would be for those applications. And so we've offered to the Air Resources Board to you know do what we can to write those guidelines on their behalf, you know, using the knowledge that we have from the past couple of years of experience and hopefully kickstart that program a little bit faster than it otherwise would happen. Not sure if they're going to take us up on the offer yet, but I think having funding going towards projects by early fall is probably wishful thinking given you know what the state would need to do before that money would be available.
Okay, and so we don't have money set aside in our budget for that until we get this new money in and no guidelines. I got it. All right, well, that's good. I mean, it's not good, but it gives me something then to plan on. So thanks so much for the answer.
Well, one thing, Director Cutter, is we still do have our program with the Red Cross where we're trying out filtration and moving it to areas that are impacted. So we can come back, I think, as a larger update, possibly to the full board to talk about what our plans are for this fire season, and we can give you some more clarity around how some of the programs that we have are currently working.
Okay, thank you so much.
And this is Wayne. So yes, I'll just echo what Damian said. We can come back with a report. We have a whole wildfire preparation going on, even though it's COVID, you know, is happening. We know fire season is coming. So we have a whole program that we've been trying to develop with the money that we have, and try and make sure that we're prepared for this coming season so we can give you a presentation.
Okay, I have a procedural question real quick. So I tried to lower my hand, but you're lowering them for us after we do our question. Yes.
Okay, great. Go ahead and lower it, thanks.
No worries. I just wanted to make sure I was up with it. Thank you.
Thank you. I will go to Vice Chair Wagon Connect.
Well, good morning. I guess one of the things I'm asking is, well, the thing I'm asking is the lesson we learned from this year. The lesson we learned is go in with community support and a sniper shot, an early ask, and you can be partially successful, even in bad times. Are we just totally zeroed out now in the wood stove replacement?
And so the wood stove replacement funding, that there was 2 years of funding. I believe the first year there was $5 million statewide, and the second year there was $3 million statewide. And since then, there hasn't been any funding allocated to that, and it just hasn't seemed to have risen to the top of a lot of air districts and other stakeholder desires in this budget, unfortunately.
Yeah. So Director Wagon Connect, we had also applied for federal funding, and I may have some good news for the board in a couple of days. We're working out some details over there. So there is a possibility we can get a couple of $1 million from the federal government for this year.
Well, that'd be a pleasant surprise.
It would be a pleasant surprise. I think we have an indication, but we're not going to kind of mention any numbers until we get a signed contract. But there is some, I believe that we'll have some good news for you there.
Thank you.
OK, Great. Any other questions from directors? If not, I'll go to public comment. If you are in the attendee box, please click the raise hand button at the bottom. I don't see any hands up. Marcy, do we have any email comments?
Not for this item.
Great, thank you. Then I'll just close up. I just want to thank Alan and our team for all of your hard work. As much as you give credit to others and stakeholders and community groups, you really led the charge and organized us as well on that trip to Sacramento. So I just want to say thank you for all of your hard work and leadership.
Thank you, Chair Abikoga. And I would be, if I didn't, give some thanks to my assistant Annie Hargrove, I wouldn't be a good boss, because I mean she basically took care of a lot of that organization, not only on the Sacramento trip, but you know, when I would tell her to, you know, send copies of our letter to every assembly member and senator and their chiefs of staff and their legislative directors, and that's 300 plus letters out to folks, you know, she did it and got it done fast. And you know, we have no equal among air districts when it comes to, you know, getting the word out to our legislators in the Capitol to let them know what our thoughts are. And so, you know, she's done a great job as well.
Great. Well, thank you, Annie, as well. We'll move on to item 4, the air district sponsored bill. And it's back to you, Alan.
Okay, this one will be real quick. And so Assembly Bill 2882 passed out of the Assembly last week. I believe the vote was 65 votes in favor, 4 votes against. So it's off to the Senate now. It's gone through the Senate Rules Committee and been assigned to Senate Environmental Quality. And so once the Senate comes back from their summer recess, we'll get ready again to go through the Senate on this bill. And in the meantime, we're working with a couple groups just to make sure that we have their full support for the bill going forward. And so the Planning Association of California, just checking in with them to make sure everything's okay. Also, the charter schools associations had some slight wording concerns. And so we're working with them on addressing concerns that they have. And at the same time, we're looking for new groups to provide support letters going forward. So we seem to be making good progress on this bill and haven't run into any major roadblocks.
Great, thank you. Any directors with questions?
I have a question, if you wouldn't mind.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
So this is a good bill. We don't really want private schools able to locate next to sites as we've had in Fremont without a review by the air district and knowledge up front. So that's great. The bill that potentially is even more consequential is the indirect source bill. Can you say if you think when we might get some traction on that one? And I guess the other thing that strikes me, if I'm reading correctly, is CARB today, the CARB board is considering what might be done to electrify trucks in the state. How does staff view these efforts? If CARB does go ahead and do so, would we pursue our indirect source rule?
Okay,
so that could be a question for anybody on the staff.
Right. So I'll just start off on the bill. So as the shelter in place went on, legislators were told that they needed to cull their bills for the year. And so a lot of legislators normally have 15 or so bills that they do every year. And they were basically requested to dial them back to maybe 4 or 5 bills of high importance. And looking specifically at bills that related to COVID-19 to other public health issues, things that couldn't be held off for another year. And unfortunately, our indirect source bill through Assembly Member Bauer Cahan didn't make the cut to move forward. It was going to have a rough time, even if it had made it forward, because it was double referred. And so it would have had to go through two committees prior to going to appropriations, prior to going to the assembly floor. And there was only about 3 weeks of actual committees. And so just logistically, it was going to have a tough time getting through the process anywhere. And so I think what we've in the work that we did on the bill leading up to it, we've identified some concerns that we heard from stakeholders, and I think this will give us a chance to take a look at the bill again and see if there's things that we can address with the stakeholders, or otherwise make the bill better, and then come back next year with something that we might have some better success with. In terms of CARB's rulemaking on truck electrification, I'm not sure if that would
I can weigh in there. In terms of ARB's rule, they are setting standards that run out to 2040 for numbers of electric vehicles that would be adopted in the region, in the state of California. It sets different standards for vehicles from class 2, which is over 8,000 pounds, up to class 8, which is over 40,000 pounds. In terms of those rules, how they roll out, they set fairly modest targets for truck deployment out through 2030. So imagine that there are 140,000 heavy-duty trucks in the Bay Area, more than a million statewide. Their 2030 goal is around 200 trucks, zero-emissions trucks, deployed throughout the state. And that number raises to about 500 further out in 2040. So relative to the emissions reductions they're going to have, depending on where the truck is deployed, they'll be more substantial. But realistically, we're probably still going to need to have a point source reduction rule discussion before then, if we're going to live up to the commitments we've met to our communities.
So if I understand correctly, if they take this action today, in the next decade, maybe we have 500 compared to a fleet in the Bay Area. Well, that's statewide compared to a fleet in the Bay Area of 140,000. Is that what I think you said?
No, 200,000 trucks statewide versus 143,000 in the Bay Area. And then in two decades, like 2040, that's when we would see 500,000 versus a million trucks, a million or more trucks statewide. So the percentages will not be significant enough, to forestall our action here.
Okay, so one final question on this, because it's maybe a little orthogonal to the agenda item, but let me just finish. If CARB does take this action today, is this a significant step toward our goal of being diesel free by 33? Or do we really need more authority from the state to help?
So in our comments, the comments that we've provided to Director Joya for today's meeting, we're asking the state to increase that percentage earlier on. It is a substantial step. If you look at kind of the smaller trucks, the class 4 through 6 trucks, those would be like our UPS or FedEx delivery trucks. The percentage that they're setting for those, which are, again, located very close to our neighborhoods, is 75% zero emissions by 2040. So it is a significant step in the right direction. We don't feel that it's aggressive enough, however.
Thank you very much.
Director Haggerty.
Well, it was, I lowered it, but I guess somehow it went back up. I will ask the question earlier on the legislation that we sponsored. There was four people that voted against it. Were any of them from the Bay Area?
No, they were the four that voted against it were Republicans from I would say from Central Valley.
If they're Republicans, they're not from the Bay Area. Right. Thank you.
Any other questions from directors? If not, I will open this up for public comment. Any members of the public wishing to speak on this item?
Chair Abikoga. So I believe we also wanted to talk briefly about ACA 5.
Oh, yeah. So I thought I had that under item 5, but.
Was it? Okay. Sorry about that. Okay. Yeah,
we've included that as a separate agenda item for today.
Okay.
So let me just go through public comments, see if anyone wants to speak on item 4. I don't see any hands. Marcy, do we have any email comments?
This item, no.
Okay, great. So now we can move on to item 5 in ACA 5. Can you unmute yourself, Ellen? There we go.
Okay, so we have our bill list, which has been getting rapidly smaller over the course of the year. And there's only a couple bills still moving forward that are really of any interest to us. We still have some PSPS bills. The SB 1099 Dodd bill will probably be voted on today in the Senate. And that one's likely to move forward into the Assembly. What we've heard so far about SB 1099, my opinion on that bill has been really that it's mostly a bill trying to legislate anxiety that some facilities have about the South Coast AQMD's permitting of backup generators. And what we've heard in the last week or so is that the South Coast Air District and some of these facilities and interest groups have likely come to an agreement on how the facilities would be or how the permitting for some of these facilities could be modified going forward to alleviate their concerns. And so this bill may end up going away before it finally gets through the Assembly, but it's still moving forward, I guess, as a way to make sure that some of the work between the South Coast and these facilities continues. And so that's the major one. The Wine Institute bill is still out there. Because it was a gut and amend, it made it through almost all of its process last year, and so it could be picked up and moved forward at the very end of session later this year. So we'll see if that happens. But other than that, most of the bills seem to be pretty non-controversial moving forward. And so that brings us to ACA 5. So that would be the proposed repeal of the affirmative action from I forget what year it was, in the late 1990s. That ACA 5 passed the state Senate yesterday, and so that's going to be on the ballot for the public to vote on in November, and so I don't think there's an opportunity for the district really to take a position on ACA 5 right now, but you know, certainly if the district wanted to take a position or a statement, you know, leading up to the actual ballot measure, you know, that would be something that the district could consider going forward.
Great, thank you. Any questions from directors? I don't see any hands. So I'll open this up to public comment. Any members of the public wishing to speak? If you're in the attendee box, please click raise hand. I don't see any. Marcy, do we have any emails?
Not for this item.
If not, I'll bring it back to the directors. Any comments? Any preferences on ACA 5? I suppose since it's a ballot measure, we can revisit it later on, if not today, if we want to take a position on this. Any interest at this time?
I'm interested in taking a position in support.
Is that a motion?
I'm sorry, this is on ACA 5?
Yes.
This is to repeal Prop 209?
Yes. So since it's already moved through the legislature, we could decide to take the position, moves to the November ballot.
I think it's an individual issue, and I do not support the Air Board taking a position on this.
Director Cutter?
I just would like some more information before I'm going to vote one way or the other. I haven't ruled it out, but I haven't decided to do it either. Maybe that could come back.
Yes. I think we can bring it back with more information. Director Hurt?
Yeah, I was just going to second maybe more information. Personally, I'm fully supportive of the measure. You know, many of us have acknowledged that there's systematic racism. And so if there's a way that we can break through that by changing what we've done in the past and doing something different, I think this is a bill that could start us on a great path. But as far as us taking this up as an Air District Board, I'd like more information.
And I think we can take that as direction to bring this back to a future meeting of the Ledge. And Alan can reach out to the authors and see if we can get more information on the bill itself.
And actually, I'm really glad that people are asking for more information, because I think we're in a different time, and I understand that. But I was around when Prop 209 passed. I voted not to end affirmative action. My recollection. I don't know if that was a yes or a no vote. I'd like some data, you know, how many in education. I think that's where a lot of this is geared for. It is also hiring practices, but I know in our county, we've put in a number of tools to address the issue. But I would like to know, you know, some more information as it relates to higher education.
Great. Any other comments? So if we can bring it back at a later date with further information, I'd appreciate that. All right. Then I will close this item, move on to public comment on non-agenda matters. If there are any members of the public wishing to speak on a non-agenda item, please raise your hand. Don't see any public comment, Marcy,
by email? I believe Vanessa Johnson has one.
Okay.
This comment is from Dr. Margaret Chen, and comments read, as an OBGYN, concerned about air pollution effects on pregnant women and children, a recent paper published in JAMA, JAMA, added sweeping evidence of the dangers of air pollution and heat for pregnant women and
Vanessa, is that the entirety of the comment?
Excuse me, Damien?
Was that the entirety of the comment? Was that all the comment? You're breaking up a small bit, I think.
No, I was reading. I don't know if I was cut off by mistake. So my apologies. So again, it's from Dr. Margaret Chen. It says, this project examined 57 studies published since 2007 that showed that pregnant women exposed to heat and air pollution were more likely to have children that were premature, underweight, or stillborn. Prematurity and low birth weight can have consequences that affect the lifetime, affecting brain development and vulnerability to disease. And these risks disproportionately affect the poor minority communities that live near polluting industries. compounding the risk of warming and pollution are access to health care for these communities. I applaud the Air District's Regulation 1118 to impose lower toxic air pollution standards that require existing facilities to take all necessary measures to reduce health and cancer risk in surrounding communities. Again, this is from Dr. Margaret Chen, clinical professor at San Francisco UCSF School of Medicine. And that concludes the comments.
Thank you. Director Haggerty, did you have?
Thanks, Madam Chair. I understand that everybody has times in which they can do meetings, and I get it. But I think the one committee member that probably knows more about the legislature, that's a small dog you have, Margaret. Very small. So I realize that trying to get these committee meetings together can be tough at times. But the one member I think that we have on the Air District that probably knows more of the legislators and knows more about the legislature is John Bowders. And when I came on, I noticed he wasn't on. So I texted him and I said, you know, there's a meeting going on today. And he said, yeah, this is the one day that I can't do a meeting because of a conflict. So I was just wondering if maybe we could maybe do a doodle poll or something and see if there's a day we can all be here and not try to exclude members of the committee. Simple. That's it.
Well, and I've supported that, Scott, for all of us. And I think Vanessa has sent out another, and it was about a week ago, if people need to look at their things, just she's asked for that information, because you're right. I think John is an essential member of this committee.
I will third that motion. It's not a motion, but he says that all four Alameda County reps have all of our Transportation Commission meetings on second Monday all day, 9 to 4. And fourth Thursday, we have health agency board meetings and ACTC full board meeting at end of day. So I think we don't want to miss critical voices from any of them from Alameda County. Thank you.
Yeah, happy to review in a better day for this meeting with staff. So let us know what works. We'll go to Director Ju.
Hey, I should have mentioned this a little bit earlier, but just a note to Alan and staff that if we haven't already, if we can update all the stakeholders that went up and lobbied for AB 617 and to thank them for their support and that success. And you know, we're going to need their support ongoing to make sure we continue to fund this critical program. So I just wanted to make sure we put that out there.
Absolutely. We've been keeping them updated throughout the process. And so once things get formally approved today in the Assembly and Senate and go on to the governor, we'll let everyone know the good news.
Great. Thank you. Good suggestion. Any other committee member comments? See any other hands. So with that, time and place of our next meeting will be to be determined, and we will adjourn. So thank you very much, everyone. Take care. Stay safe.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.